How do you spend a typical day? According to recent data, the average person spends 26 years of their life sleeping, while another 11 of those are spent in front of the TV. But here's what else we're doing in our lifetimes. 136 days getting ready, 2 years in meetings, 3 years washing clothes, 4 years talking on the phone, 5 years surfing the internet, 17 years dieting. Is this what it means to exist? And is there a better way to live?
Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, then you will have this abundant life.
Welcome to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp. Here, we hope you'll find answers to some of life's everyday struggles. You can learn more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. Whether we like to admit it or not, we're really not very good at living our best lives. But there is a source that offers you a better life and strength for each day. This week, Charles Tapp shares the promise that gives you the opportunity to experience a life with God, with his message, to be or not to be.
To be or not to be, that is the question. That is probably by far one of the most well-known, or probably the most well-known line in William Shakespeare's soliloquy titled Hamlet. Written around 1601, the phrase to be or not to be is actually the first line from Shakespeare's play. And it is the most famous line that raises an overarching question of the entire speech, to be or not to be. And when you examine the meaning of the verb to be, which actually means to exist, it helps give us a better understanding of what is really being asked here. In essence, the question is really this: is it better for us to exist to be alive or to not exist and cease to be alive? In any language, the verb to be is one of the most common in the entire English language, and it is used in nearly every conversation in some form or the other. For example, how many times has someone said to you, hurry up as we can't be late? How about this one? I just want to be healthy. And I know every parent has heard this from their kids. When will supper be ready? In each of these examples, the verb, the word to be, gives the sense of existence. But when used in the context of living one's life as a disciple of Jesus Christ, being means more than just merely existing. It means taking on the idea of being something that goes beyond mere existence, but it goes to being fruitful. And what is even more interesting is that the aspect of being fruitful as it relates to my walk and your walk with God has nothing to do, dear friends, with our ability to produce this state of fruitfulness in and of ourselves. But it has everything to do with God and his ability to produce it in us. And herein lies the message of Jesus' word in the 15th chapter of the Gospel of John. Looking at verses 1 to verse 5, Jesus says here, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes it away. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear, what everybody, more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, Jesus says here, neither can you unless you abide in me. Verse 5. Again, Jesus reminds us, I'm the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him bears what? Much fruit. Look at how it ends. For without me, Jesus says, you can do nothing. John chapter 15 begins with Jesus' seventh and final I am statement found in John's gospel. And in each of these statements, Jesus uses a very powerful metaphor in order that you and I might gain a better understanding of his ministry in the world and his ministry in the lives of his people. Let's take a look at these quickly. The seven I am declarations. The first found in John 6, where Jesus says, I am the bread of life. And he said this right after feeding over 5,000 men, women, and children with just a few loaves of bread and fish. The second I am. Jesus says in John 8, I am the light of the world. And this comes right before Jesus is about to restore the sight of a blind man. The third, I am the door, found in John 10. Jesus is letting us know that the only way to salvation is through him. Number four, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd, again in John chapter 10. Here he uses this metaphor of the shepherd to express his deep love and concern for us, as well as his desire to protect us, even if it means losing his own life. Number five, Jesus says in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. And this Jesus said immediately after he brought Lazarus back from the dead. Number six, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life, found in John's gospel, John chapter 14. Jesus again reminding us there's no other way to the Father but through him. And then finally, number seven, the I am statement that we're going to look at today from John chapter 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine, the true vine, and you are the branch, dear friend. This true vine, we read in the Old Testament that the nation of Israel, although referred to as a vine of God, a vine of God's planting in Psalm 80 and verse 8, failed, the Bible says, to bring forth the fruit of God. But in contrast here in John chapter 15, Christ presents himself not as a vine who failed, but as the true vine or the genuine vine. And Jesus here uses this metaphor. It is somewhat surprising because rather than claiming to be the vine dresser, the one who is responsible for the daily pruning and upkeep and cultivation of the grapevines, Jesus, on the other hand, declares himself to be the true vine itself. Not the vine dresser, but the vine. And the distinction here, dear friends, is huge. Well, the role of the vine dresser is one of providing the conducive environment for growth. The role of the vine is paramount in that it is the very source of life for the branch. The vine determines to a large degree, dear friends, whether the branch is to be or whether it is not to be, whether it is to have life or whether it is to cease to have life. And the point that Jesus is making in this parable, dear friends, is crystal clear. And that is simply this, that if there is to be any existence, any evidence of fruitfulness on the part of the branches, AKA his followers today, you and me, that it's going to be a direct result of our willingness to totally and completely depend on Jesus Christ for our source of life and for our source of fruitfulness. Who says amen to that today? And the way we remain connected, Jesus says, is through this process he calls abiding. This word abide in the Greek, meno, simply means to remain. It means to stay put, to remain right where you are. And it's not a question, dear friends, of the branch living its life for the vine, but simply of allowing the life of the vine to flow through the branches. As the branch abides and remains, stay put in the vine, you are to remain and stay put in me if you want to be fruitful. And to display the glory of God, dear friends, is exactly what it takes place in the life of the believer who abides, who remains, who stays put, connected to the vine. And God is glorified when the branches, that's you, that's me, bear fruit. Fruit, evidence, external evidence, dear friends, that you and I are truly connected to the source of life, which is the vine. And I love that word, glorify. It means to shine a light on. So when we're glorifying God, we're not shining a light on ourselves. We're shining a light on who God is. How? By being connected, by abiding, by remaining, by staying put. Because Jesus goes on to say, if we disconnect ourselves from him, the true source of life, dear friends, we cease to be. We cease to have this thing called life. And when we examine Jesus' words in John 15, we see here, and I tell you, I've studied this passage many times, but for the first time, I'm actually seeing something I've never seen before. I've never noticed it. There are 3 degrees in John chapter 15 of being fruitful, of bearing fruit. Let's take a look at them. In John 15 and verse 2, it simply says that you will bear fruit. In John 15 and verse 2, Jesus says, if you remain connected to me and abide in me, you will bear what? Not just fruit, but more fruit. And then he goes on to say in John 15 and verse 5, if you remain connected to me, stay put and abide, you will bear not some fruit or more fruit, but what? Much fruit. Never paid attention to that before. So if the fruit is the evidence, please don't miss this, of the life of Christ flowing into and through the life of the believer, then the degrees of fruitfulness must represent the degree that you and I permit Christ's life to live in us. But what we permit and what Christ desires many times are not the same thing, not even close many times. For Jesus makes it clear that the level of life he desires to display in your life and in my life is much fruit. Look at how John describes it in John chapter 10 and verse 10. He says this, the thief does not come except to steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come, Jesus says, that they might have what? Life, and that they may have it how? More abundantly. That's the level of fruitfulness that God wants to have in your life, and he wants to produce in my life. Not just some, not just more, but abundant fruit. That's the life that God wants for you and he wants for me. But here's the thing, dear friends. Many people take this verse completely out of context where Jesus says, I want you to have abundant life. And they make it say something like, I want you to have material life and great wealth and great gain, but that's not the word life here. The word life here is the word zoe, meaning life with God. So what is Jesus saying? If you remain connected to me like the branch gives its life from the vine, you will have an abundant life, an abundant experience, an abundant and fruitful walk with God to the point it just overflows, which means the character of God will overflow in your life and in my life. We won't have to wear a cross to let people know we believe in Jesus Christ. We won't have to put a bumper sticker on our car that says, honk if you love Jesus. They will know we are his by the fruit that overflows in my life, the joy that overflows in your life. Jesus doesn't just want us to have some life. He doesn't just want us to be. He doesn't just want us to exist. He wants us to experience abundant life in God.
You're listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, To Be or Not to Be. And if you're enjoying this message or you'd like to find others like it, you can find out more by visiting simpletruthsforlife.org. We'll conclude with the rest of his message right after this.
Jesus came here for you.
No matter what your skin color is.
Jesus came here for you if you're Republican, Democrat, neutral, don't know or don't care, or any political party.
Jesus came for the far left and the far right, or if you're somewhere in between.
Jesus came for the person who cut you off in traffic.
Jesus came for the homeless, the poor, the middle class, and the rich.
Jesus came for love.
Love.
Jesus came for you and for all his children.
We're here to remind you of that.
WGTS 91.9.
Always encouraging.
And 88.3 on the Eastern Shore.
This is Simple Truths for Life. And when it comes to living your best life, are you thriving or merely existing? This week, Charles Tapp shares the promise that gives you the opportunity to experience a life with God as he concludes his message, to be or not to be.
So when Shakespeare calls and asks the question to be or not to be, to exist or not to exist, Jesus makes it clear that just being or just existing is not enough. But he wants us to be, he wants us to exist, to have life, life with him, and to have it in abundance. And the key, dear friends, to experiencing this abundant life is with one word, abide. Jesus said, if you abide in me and I in you, then you will have this abundant life. This staying put. But staying put and remaining to what? Let's go back to John chapter 15, verses 3 and verse 4 to see what John has to say here. Look at what he says. He says, and this verse 3 is the pivotal verse in this passage, dear friends. Jesus says here, you are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Underline that word clean. You are already clean by the word I have spoken to you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it does what? Abides, remains, stays put in the vine. Neither can you unless you, dear friends, abide in me. Please don't miss this. Jesus is saying that his word is the agent that cleanses. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them, make them holy through thy truth. Thy word is the truth. So the way to stay put, please don't miss this. The way to stay put, the way to remain connected, the way to become and remain fruitful is by remaining, abiding, staying put in the word of God. That's what gives us life. That's what gives us fruit and fruitfulness to the point that it just overflows. It's like a seed, as I always say, that the word of God should be like a seed planted in our hearts that takes root and ultimately it will bear fruit. But here's the big question. What is it about the word of God that allows it to have such a dramatic impact in my life and in yours? What is it about reading the words from the pages of this book that has the power to transform our lives and to do it in abundance? Let's look at what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 16 and verse 17. Look at this. He says, all scripture, that means everything from old to new, is given by what? The inspiration of God. And is profitable for what? Doctrine. For what? For reproof, for correction, for instruction in what? Righteousness, in righteous living. 17, verse 17, that the man of God, I should also say, and the woman of God may be what? Complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word in 2 Timothy 3:16, inspiration, dear friends, it translates into the word, the phrase God breathed, which means although human writers actually put the word to paper, the ultimate source of everything in this book, it is not human in origin, but it is divine. In other words, because it was inspired, because it was God-breathed, it means that there was a corporate effort between God and each one of the human writers whereby God influenced them without controlling them. Did you hear what I said? Inspiration means God influenced them, he inspired them, but he did not control them, allowing them the message to come through their own perspectives and style of writing. But I want to go back to this word inspiration again, found in 2 Timothy 3:16. I want us to look at it in the original Greek language. It is the word theopneustos. Theo meaning God. Pneustos meaning wind or breath or a spirit or the spirit. So when you put this together, this word inspiration boils down to this: God's breath or God's spirit. So when Paul says that all scripture is given by the inspiration of God, in other words, he is saying it is from God himself, it is his breath, it is his spirit that is in this word. And here's the thing, dear friends, about the spirit, the breath of God. Whatever God breathes in and whatever God breathes on gives it life. Look at what Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7 says. Genesis chapter 2, I love this. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground and did what? Breathe into his nostrils what? The breath of life, translated the breath of God or the spirit of God into his nostrils. And man became what, dear friends? A living being. Again, whatever God breathes on or in, it gives it life. So when God breathed his life into this word, into the lives of the men who wrote it, when you and I read it, it takes root and it bears fruit in each and every one of our lives, but only if we're willing to abide, to remain, to stay put in his word. Again, going back to what the Apostle Paul says, join with me in Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 and verse 23. He articulates it this way. He says, but the what? Fruit. In other words, but the byproduct or the result of the Spirit of God is what? Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Anybody need any self-control today? Against such, he says, there is no law. And by saying there's no law, meaning there's no limit to the fruitfulness that can be born in your life and in my life, dear friends, when you and I remain connected, stay put, and abide in His Word. And here's the thing, too many times our study of the Word of God is simply with a devotional reading that we may do in the morning and the evening. And there's nothing wrong with having a devotional reading, but that's not enough. For those of you who are parents, you remember when you had small children, sometimes you had to chew the food a little before you would give it to your child so that they wouldn't choke on it. But that's what it is when you and I read simply and solely devotional reading. Somebody else has already chewed on that and given it to us. We need to devote ourselves to go to the Word of God for ourselves and to put our anchor in the Word, to abide in the Word, to stay in the Word. And Jesus' promise is clear that when you and I abide in the Word that cleans, the Word that sanctifies, we will bear abundant fruit. I want to leave you today with this quote that I found. You ever seen these warning labels? They tell you warning, and then they give you what the warning is. Beware of this. Here's a warning for all of us today. Warning. Inductive. That's deep Bible study. Inductive Bible study can be what? Habit forming. Putting the principles into practice. Listen to this. Can cause what? Loss of anxiety. Decreased appetite for what? Lying, cheating, stealing, hating, and symptoms of growing sensations of what? Love, of peace, of joy, and compassion. Warning, if you and I truly pled ourselves in this Word, so much so that the only way to compare it would be like the branch being connected and abiding and remaining in the vine. Dear friends, you and I will develop sensations of love and joy and peace and gentleness and goodness. We won't be tempted to lie, at least we won't go through with it, to steal and do all the rest, because God doesn't just want us to be. He doesn't want us just to exist. He wants us to live and to live abundantly. Not in the sense that the world looks at abundance with material wealth and gain, but in the sense of abundance of having the life of His Spirit flowing through us as we read and remain in His Word to the point that we won't produce the fruitfulness, we will be bearers of the fruitfulness. So our challenge is every day, in addition to our devotional readings, let's go to the Word and let's meditate it, as David said, day and night. Let's meditate upon it and let it truly abide in us. And let us become the fruitful disciples that Jesus desires us to be. For if we do this, we can have much fruit. But let us never forget what He says at the end, but without me, without abiding in me and abiding in my Word, you can do nothing as it relates to having the fruitful life.
You've been listening to Simple Truths for Life with Charles Tapp and his message, To Be or Not to Be. And if you want to listen again or share it with someone, you can find these messages on platforms like Apple Podcasts and now also on Spotify. Now here's what we're working on for next week.
It is Jesus knocking at the heart of my door and your door, dear friends, asking, can I get back in?
Next week, we hope you can listen in again as Charles Tapp shares a message based on Revelation chapter 3, where Jesus requests for the door to be opened so He can gain access to our hearts, so He might have a more intimate relationship with us. You won't want to miss this message titled, Out in the Cold. Well, thanks for listening, and we hope you'll plan to join us again next week for more Simple Truths for Life.